Welcome to Worlds Apart. In political science, the term balkanization is used to describe the process of an often deliberate fragmentation of a country or a territory into smaller and often hostile parts. When it comes to the Balkans today, how solid are the current borders? Well, to discuss that, I'm now joined by Milorad Dodik, president of the Republika Srpska.
Mr. President, thank you very much for your time and for visiting Russia this time. And thank you for taking the time to sit for an interview. Guests from Europe are rare today. What did you decide to come for a visit?
I've been coming here for many years, and I'm always glad to have this opportunity. And I'm grateful to the organizer and President Putin for regular invitations. These are very difficult times that require real friendship. Of course, some traditional friendly relations are crumbling and disappearing. But in any case, we from Republika Srpska are very committed to having friendly relations with the Russian Federation. We have many contacts with economic organizations and banks here, as well as business people and people from the political sphere. And this is one of the largest global forums. The very fact that there are over 20,000 people from more than 100 countries here suggests that this is the place we should be today, in St. Petersburg, at this forum.
Now, when talking about cooperation after your victory in the elections of October 2022, you noted that Republika Srpska will develop cooperation with Russia, China and the United States, while continuing its path to the EU. 2 years later, does this multi-directional policy seem possible to you? Or has anything changed during this time?
It's obvious that the European Union is increasingly falling into crisis. The European Union is devoid of resources, has neither oil nor gas, but is also devoid of leaders. The European Union is losing the valuable politicians with whom it presented itself to the world. The European policies in the EU that tried to use money to attract countries to join its community are no longer the same today. It's different, it's getting poorer, it offers fewer and fewer opportunities. And therefore, it is very important that we do not fall hostage to their failed policy, which pursued in such a way that if you are not for me, you are against me. As in the case of their demand to impose sanctions on Russia, which we reject. As this absolutely does not allow for dialogue on an equal basis. They need subjects, not partners. While our relations with the Russian Federation are on a completely different level. And no matter how small a community we are, and no matter how small an economy we have, we feel like partners in one of the most powerful economies in the world. And today, we learn that the Russian economy is the fourth largest in the world. So it's also about attitude, about how your partners treat you. Here we have full equality. Here we have respect. On the side of Europe and the Western world, we only have the obligation to be subjects and unquestioningly follow their policies.
At the end of May, the authorities of Republika Srpska announced the creation of a group to form proposals for the peaceful division of Bosnia and Herzegovina. What prompted the Republic to take this step?
Republika Srpska is a party to the Dayton Agreement, in which we brought our territory, our political independence, our people, and our power into a community called Bosnia and Herzegovina. Of course, from the very beginning, it was clear that we were forced to do this and that we did not want this. But because of the way in which the West mercilessly and completely unjustifiably punished the Serbs, there was no other way but to accept this option. However, It was clear from the very beginning that Bosnia and Herzegovina was a failed project. And in this regard, certain parts of the agreement state that only Republika Srpska and the Federation, as signatories of Annex 10, can change this agreement. We have a legal basis for launching an initiative for peaceful separation because the current Bosnia and Herzegovina has now seized not only this generation, but also the prospects of future generations. And there is no longer any will or strength to stay in this unsuccessful community.
Što je smišljeno u dalekim kancelarijama svijeta, mi se zalažemo ili da ostanemo...
Which was conceived in distant offices across the world. Therefore, we believe that peaceful separation is in the interests of all, and with clearly defined statuses. We can be good partners and good neighbors. At the heart of everything is the preservation of peace and the prevention of the violence and destruction we experienced in the 90s.
You use the term peaceful separation. How's that different from independence?
Peaceful separation means precisely that it will be based on a conversation on this issue and the conclusion of a joint agreement regarding it. So you correctly noted the emphasis on peaceful separation, because everyone expects that separation or accentuating this issue will mean chaos or destabilization. And we want to say that it is possible to talk and then separate peacefully. We see this in ordinary communities, in families, in marriages, and at the societal level. Bosnia and Herzegovina is a completely unsuccessful, hopeless marriage. And in this sense, it's necessary to realize the futility of continuing on in the same spirit. If you want to continue living this way, it means you want to dominate and subjugate via your own kind of coercion. It was the Western world that promoted the values of dialogue, agreements, understanding, and law. And this initiative for peaceful disarmament contains all of these elements at its core.
Mr. President, I'm sure you know, both from the history of your region and the history of Europe as a whole, that such divorces are rarely civilized, especially when global politics meets local politics and concerns your region. You have talked about it yourself. What do you see as the greatest risks and opportunities that this so-called peaceful separation can bring to your republic?
Of course, global circumstances are difficult. The world is in complete disarray. We have a lot of open crises. It seems that they are the fate of our times, a deadly threat to our civilization and the current world order. The one that was one-sided and subordinated to America obviously no longer exists. Today, it's clear that there is a multipolar world. This multipolar world has not yet formed its own organizations that can unite these interests and regulate their relations at the institutional, inter-country level. Of course, we do not benefit from this mess. But given the issues forced upon us by the Bosniak Muslims in Bosnia and Herzegovina, under the patronage of their mentors, primarily the United States, Great Britain, and Germany, we simply realize that if we do not resist and exercise our legitimate rights, then we will lose. They will turn us into nothing. The Serbian people will be forced to leave this area, where they have lived for centuries, for only one reason. The great powers in the West did not allow this people to express their political will in the same way any other people express their will. Before Yugoslavia's collapse, the Serbs were scattered throughout the country, but felt like they lived in one nation. But now that's gone. They tell us we must live as an unequal minority in Bosnia and Herzegovina. This means they want to supersede our rights and status. Therefore, while I agree that it is not the most advantageous time for a conversation, there's never an ideal time for a conversation when all circumstances are in place. Therefore, we believe that this initiative should be launched at this time.
I would like to ask about the resolution which was recently adopted by the UN General Assembly with heavy lobbying by Western parties that recognizes Srebrenica as genocide and calls for a special day of remembrance to be created to perpetuate this interpretation of history. What goals are being pursued here?
You only have to look at the fact that Germany introduced and sponsored this illegal initiative on behalf of only one of the peoples of Bosnia, where there are actually three peoples. No decision was taken by the institutions of Bosnia and Herzegovina to launch this initiative, which, of course, is a prerequisite in the work of the world organization called the UN. Germany appropriated this illegal private initiative from Bosnia and Herzegovina and became its initiator and main sponsor in an attempt to clear its history. It must be understood that at the top of German power are the descendants of SS officers, who even commanded cities like Kiev during the Soviet times. These people have openly been trying to change history for a long time, for 30 years, without hindrance. Imagine the absurdity that they want the Serbs, more than half of which these same Germans killed during two world wars in the last century and bombed again in the 90s under a false pretext in the NATO intervention, to accept the Germans as occupiers over us. And they want to achieve this revenge through a resolution. The resolution does not enjoy a majority. The rules and regulations of the United Nations General Assembly state that resolutions like this, which reflect threats to basic civilizational values, should generally be adopted by consensus. If consensus is not possible, then two-thirds are needed, because we are talking about a very important civilizational issue here. However, the initiative sponsors and those influential people who are clearly losing their primacy in the world agreed to consider this an insignificant technical point. And then they provided a system in which only for and against votes were counted. And when you consider the essence of the democratic process, then you will see that 109 countries did not vote for this resolution, and only 84 countries did. This is the collapse of American hegemony.
I know that the U.S. representative in Sarajevo stated that the succession of Republika Srpska would not mean independence or the end of Bosnia and Herzegovina, but only the end of Republika Srpska. How do you interpret this?
You
know what? From the very beginning, it was known that Bosnia and Herzegovina was formed in 1995 as a consensus of the American political elite. At that moment, Madeleine Albright was promoting the Dayton concept, but there was also a significant politician in the State Department at that time, the Secretary of Homeland Security Berger, who proposed dividing Bosnia and Herzegovina into independent countries. And then they said, let's try the first option, because it's never too late for the second. And so we came to the conclusion that we've been living in this unsuccessful experiment for 30 years. Academic and Nobel laureate Ivo Andrić, the only writer from the Balkans to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature, chose Bosnia and Herzegovina as the theme for all his works. He managed to express an important historical truth in one phrase. When you enter Bosnia, logic ends.
kako je bilo za vrijeme Andrića.
So it was in the time of Andrić, who described the reign of Thomas in Turkish times, so it is today. Therefore, there is no logic for Bosnia and Herzegovina to live on, for it to continue to exist, and for two peoples to feel unsatisfied. And the Bosniak people aren't happy either, as they lack the hegemony that would make them feel happy. Thus, Bosnia and Herzegovina is synonymous with unhappiness. Bosnia and Herzegovina is synonymous with failure. Bosnia and Herzegovina is proof that Western forces considered the peoples of the Balkans, as well as of many other places, like the Middle East, to be unworthy of deciding their own fate. Therefore, they wanted to put their own features and wishes into it. It's impossible to transfer the way of life of some distant place to another space, because nations have their own history, their own present and future. And this all permeates everything. It's almost impossible to impose a model that does not enjoy popular support. And Bosnia and Herzegovina does not enjoy popular support.
Well, Mr. President, we have to take a very short break, but we will be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. And I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Welcome back to Worlds Apart with Milorad Dodik, president of the Republika Srpska.
I know that you met the Russian president today. Are you going to, or did you already ask for Russia's help for Republika Srpska? And do you see a situation in the future when Republika Srpska might need Russia's help?
Our biggest support is that there is one big, stable, powerful Russia, a global giant that sees Republika Srpska, a much smaller community, as a partner. But in terms of values, we share exactly that which is most important for Russia and the Russian people, the struggle for the people, their identity, their writing, language, traditions, history, and the country. We have the right to freely dispose our country's resources with no one from the outside interfering in our internal affairs. And this is what unites us. No matter how big some countries are or how small others are, and this is the biggest support that we receive from the Russian Federation. President Putin is undoubtedly a great statesman, undoubtedly a people's leader. But he's also the leader of the whole free world. He's a man of peace, though the West tries to do to him what they did to the Serbs in the late 20th century, when they arranged special tribunals and tried to blame and try them for everything, thus writing a negative history. Of course, they broke their teeth on Russia. And I'm sure that Russia is protecting not only its own national and state interests, but also the interests of the whole free world. And this is demonstrated by the fact that a significant number of countries, world organizations, and the United Nations have not followed the path of the West in imposing sanctions. And of course this hinders the West. They want to take over Russia's resources, oil, gas, and special and rare metals that aren't available in Europe. And thus, in order to take over these resources, they began to occupy Ukraine, installing the NATO system in Ukraine itself, threatening to do the same with Russia in the next step. Russian President Vladimir Putin's policy, which recognized these intentions, definitely makes him not only a historic figure for the Russian people and the Russian state, but also a national treasure of Russia and the Russian people.
You've been in politics for several decades, and all this time you have opposed Bosnia and Herzegovina's membership in NATO. But NATO in 2010 and 2024 are very different organizations with different strategies, enemies, degrees of mobilization, and plans. What does NATO represent to you at this stage?
It's obvious that NATO, as it's described in their documents, and NATO, as it conducts itself, are completely different. NATO's founding acts state that it's a defensive alliance. But if you engage in two interventions against the Serbs, which contradicts these acts, that demonstrates you are not a defensive alliance, but an attacking alliance. It shows you are lying. Only villains could call the operation against the Serbs Merciful Angel while dumping depleted uranium at the same time, and they did this to us. I think the reason is that the West doesn't want to hear from anyone. The West would prefer to make decisions on Russia without asking anyone in Russia about anything. That's how it works in the Balkans. The Serbs have enough historical resistance to fight such efforts. But this means you'll be occupied for a long time. The West and NATO used Ukraine to enter into direct conflict with Russia. Their concern for Ukraine is false. They don't care about the people in Ukraine.
Ta njihova briga o Ukrajini je lažna.
They are only concerned about how to make this region as poor as possible, so that they can then appear as saviors and buy up all the resources and natural wealth cheaply. This is their main concern. And they've tried to do this. The presidential family in America, Biden, has been very active in Ukraine in the past decades, which led, of course, to the collapse of the entire democratic system in Ukraine itself and subordination of these processes to American oligarchic, political, and family interests. Today, we have a situation where America, led by Biden, whose son was the main trader or businessman in Ukraine, is mobilizing NATO against Russia. This is the real truth. But Russia's successes in the special military operation obviously confirm the failure of NATO. Russia is taking steps towards its ultimate goal, namely, to ensure the freedom and rights of the Russian people in Ukraine to decide where they will live. If other nations are able to do this, then why can't the Russian people? If the US administration can intervene for the sake of one American, wherever they are on Earth, then of course, Russia has the right to protect the millions of its citizens living in Ukraine.
Mr. President, I would also like to ask about the situation in the Balkans, because there is an opinion that Putin wants military intervention in your region, that Russia is interested in creating chaos, and that Moscow always blames others for what it does itself. How do you assess the security of the region, especially considering possible ethnic conflicts?
Putin is a man of peace.
Putin is a man of peace, regardless of what the West is trying propaganda-wise. It's known that the West always resorts to distorted logic or attempts to negatively present all of Russia's intentions. I've known Putin for many years. I've had countless conversations with him. We've had two just this year. I think that by the end of the year, we will have the opportunity to talk again. He's never asked for anything that could destabilize the region. He's never asked for anything and never promised to support the Serbs in doing something destructive in Bosnia and Herzegovina. He's always demanded that international agreements, international law, and human relations be respected, and that the territorial integrity of Bosnia and Herzegovina and peace be respected. He's still doing that today. Therefore, Western propaganda that talks about Russia's intentions to destabilize the Balkans is a complete lie. It's just a propaganda technique for daily or short-term use, intended to draw attention to the region. So, there are a lot of values, stereotypes, and quasi-truths, and of course, a lot of truths in the game today. I'm convinced that Russia is pursuing the correct policy in protecting its people's right to exist, as well as their right to preserve their identity and traditional values, and to resist anachronistic values. In the West, you have a situation where if you want to join the European Union, you must, on a certain day, dress preschool boys in women's clothes and girls in men's clothes and paint their nails, and thus try to somehow destroy the difference between the sexes. So Western values say the following: if you do not accept what we say, you are not in accord with the civilized world. This is a trick that clearly lies at the heart of all of today's misunderstandings.
Mr. President, while we were talking, the clock struck midnight. I have one last question for you, if possible. Many Russian analysts are now seriously discussing the prospect of a third world war because the Western countries that are providing weapons and other military assistance to Ukraine refuse to recognize their role in the conflict. And this is creating the possibility for escalation. Do you agree that this conflict could go beyond Ukraine and affect the situation that is developing today?
I do not believe in theories about World War III, even nuclear war, for only one reason. Namely, because there is one person with reason who has empathy for all people, regardless of their nation or religion, and that person is Vladimir Putin. And Western propaganda is aimed at creating stereotypes for their own internal needs. This will continue until all these fictional stories surrounding the European elections end. Since this liberal left or right, I don't know what it is anymore, but mostly hoax, is trying to mobilize people by creating a background of fear of Russia, which is an absolute lie. On the other hand, one truth has been ignored, namely that Germany's economic might was based on cheap resources, the energy resources that it received from Russia. Now you can see how important that was. They are buying expensive energy resources from the other side at three times the price, primarily American ones. They have to pay for it with their economy. Of course, it remains strong, but it's not the country we saw before. Therefore, I do not believe in extreme escalation in the sense of a global conflict. Again, for one reason. I believe that Vladimir Putin will not allow this. If you ask them in the West, they would have been in Siberia long ago. But that's not possible.
Well, Mr. President, we have to leave it there. But thank you very much for being so gracious with your time.
Thank you.
And thank you for watching. Hope to see you again on Worlds Apart.